Corinth is one of the most unholy and ungodly places you could imagine in your mind. Temple prostitution and idol worship galore. And there stands a church formed by the Apostle Paul. Now, this is not just any church. It's a church that believed and practiced the gifts of the Spirit. And the church had some issues. The world kept trying to creep into the church. Matter of fact, on one occasion, Paul wrote to him and said, you got a real problem. You got a son taking his father's wife. And so Paul had to correct these things. This is the Corinthian church was dealing with a lot of stuff. But the 14th chapter is Paul correcting the use of speaking in tongues in the church. And I want to preach to you about speaking in tongues tonight. And so we're going to go right into this chapter. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit the Spirit speaketh mysteries, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." Go to verse 13 with me. "Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what you say? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all." I want to preach to you this thought. They spake with tongues. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity, Lord, to declare your word. I pray, God, that you will bless me, anoint me, use me, give me that unction from the Holy Spirit. Father, I need you desperately tonight. Help me, Lord, to share what you have placed in my heart. Minister to this great congregation of people. Encourage them and lift them up. Let this be a message that helps them understand the gift of speaking in tongues. Let it be a message, Lord, that inspires them, Lord, to embrace it, to practice it. I pray, God, that if there's one here struggling, you would bless them, lift them up, and encourage them. Have your way in every heart and life, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. They spake in tongues. I think if there's ever been a more controversial subject, tongues is it. A lot of people, because they have not received the gift or have not sought for the gift or have seen it in operation, have disqualified it and said, that's not for today. And I have read article upon article upon article upon article explaining to me why it is not for today and why speaking in tongues is wrong. If you were to type in a Google search engine, speaking in tongues, and pull up articles, you would find very little for and a whole lot against. Because there's a strong push to get away from this. Many people think that the Spirit of God is going to corrupt the church, hurt the church, or it's going to offend or confuse. The opposite is so. The Holy Ghost doesn't confuse. But when the tongues is in operation in the church, and when it's done right, it is powerful, it is anointed, and it speaks to people's lives. It encourages them. It lifts them up. It brings people out of stuff. It brings deliverance. It opens eyes to truths. It speaks into the hearts of individuals that came to church heavy-hearted without understanding. And people don't even know what they're doing, but yet they're ministering to those people and have no clue they are because the Spirit is doing it. Tongues in the church has to be done right. But when tongues comes, it's a blessing to the believers. It's a blessing to the believer. One of the greatest things that I love in my life is that when I get alone with God, I have a heavenly prayer language that I can communicate with God. And I can be alone and I can pray in tongues all day long. It has nothing to do between me and you. This has to do between me and God. This is my prayer language. This is my time to be alone with God. And the Bible teaches us that tongues is a predominant part of a manifestation of God's Spirit. We see it patterned in the book of Acts. The book of Acts teaches us that in Acts chapter 2, 120 men sitting there, 120 people, women and men alike, seeking God. The Bible said the Holy Ghost fell and they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, some people have tried to say tongues, speaking in tongues, it's another language. It's not an unknown tongue. It's not gibberish or just a rattling off of syllables. It's not that. It's a language because the Bible said they heard their own language. Now, here's the thing, though. If it's just a language, the Bible says that there was every nation under heaven represented there. Every nation under heaven. And 120 people are speaking simultaneously in tongues. How is every individual from every nation under heaven hearing the blessings of God without disruption? How are they hearing it? It's because the gift, I believe, is in the hearer and not in the speaking, because they were speaking in tongues, but the hearing was open to hear what God was saying in the heavenlies, to hear the mysteries of heaven. Their ears were opened at that very moment. This is, I've heard stories that this is true. One woman was a Hungarian Catholic woman, came to a church in Miami. She came to the service and a woman stood up and began to speak. Now she spoke fluent Hungarian language, apparently, because the Catholic woman was from Hungary. And she heard fluently the beautiful things of God. She heard the mysteries of the heavens. She heard all these beautiful things. And after the service was done, she came up to the woman that went to that church, attended that church, and began to speak to her in Hungarian because she thought she was fluent in Hungarian. The woman had no clue how to say one word in Hungarian language. She said, I wasn't speaking in any language. I was speaking in an unknown tongue. I didn't know what I was saying. She had no clue what she was saying. But the Spirit of God opened her ears to hear what God was saying in the spiritual realm of things. I want you to know, church, that can God speak in another language? Give it to you. Yes, He can. But I also believe that He can open your ears to hear what's being said in the heavens. Tongues has been a pattern through Scripture. In Acts 2, the tongues fell, and they spoke in other tongues. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Peter said, how can we refuse to baptize these? They are filled just like we were in Acts 2. And Cornelius is an Italian man. He's not a Jewish man. He's not an apostle. Not at all. When Philip went to Samaria, how important was it for them to preach about being filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts and about speaking in tongues? Philip went to Samaria, began preaching in Samaria, began exalting God. The Bible said he did many signs and wonders and miracles were performed at the hands of Philip, but they never received the Holy Ghost. Until Peter and John came and they called for him. You know why they called for him? Because they wanted the Holy Ghost. And here comes Peter and John. They lay their hands on him. And all the people of Samaria received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in the minds of the apostle, what is the sign of them people receiving the baptism? Tongues. How do we know that? We see that in Acts chapter 10 when Peter said they received it just like we received it. We see that in Acts chapter 19 because according to Paul, it's one of the most important things to preach about. When he found people in Ephesus that had not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, he said to them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He asked them this. This is so, it's important to them. The New Testament church began preaching the repentance of Jesus Christ and also preached, be filled with the Spirit. Preached it. And the sign of that infilling is the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in an unknown tongue. Now, some people have said the unknown tongue is controversial. It's not an unknown tongue because the Greek is not saying unknown. It just means tongue. And then some people even tried to say language. But the Bible says it's praying in the Spirit. When I pray in the Spirit, I'm not speaking a language you know. Matter of fact, I'm not even speaking a language I know. But I sure know it feels good. Amen. There's a lot of people who bring controversy up to this. And because they haven't experienced or because they haven't taken the time to seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, they have decided that they will say it's not for today. And people have done good work at trying to prove this. They have done good work at it. It's just easier to say the Bible says it. Here it is. Here it is. It is so important that the church of Corinth, all the people of Corinth, they would come to church and it was chaotic. Everybody was speaking in tongues. There wasn't any words being said in the modern tongue to edify the people. They're all speaking in tongues. And then the prophets were out of order. The prophets were prophesying. One would interrupt another. One would get out of line. And Paul has to correct this. And we're blessed to have this correction because it helps us see what's going on in the church of Corinth. Because the Holy Ghost was being preached and the church was having to process how does the gift of tongues operate in the church? But most importantly, I think the gift of tongues should operate in your own prayer time. It is one of the greatest gifts, I believe, for personal edification. Personal edification. You need the gift of tongues. It's not so you can speak in tongues and say, look at me, I can speak in tongues. Oh, I'm spiritual. It's so you and you get alone with God, you'll be lifted up. You'll be lifted up. See, tongues, the speaking in tongues, go to verse 2, it says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm not praying to man. I'm not praying to anybody else. My communication is heaven bound and only heaven bound. It's only for the ears of God. And who can interpret the tongue that I'm saying? Who can interpret the gibberish that might be uttering out of my mouth? Only the Heavenly Father can read the words coming out of my own heart and out of my own soul and out of my own spirit as I utter these words before the Lord. It's a heavenly language that is between you and between God. And that's it. Between you and God. It's an intimate prayer language. Intimate. That word intimate should be emphasized in our minds that when we get alone with God and we begin to pray, we can begin to speak in tongues, and it's an intimate time between you and God. There's been times in my own prayer life where I didn't know what to say. And I just began to pray, and sometimes I began to cry, and I began to speak in tongues. There are times I spoke in tongues for hours upon hours, just as I'm seeking God's face. And oh, how my heart lifts to the heavens, how my soul exalts to the heavens, and how my mind fills with joy, and how my heart leaps in my chest as I let the Spirit of God begin to speak through me into the heavens. The devil can't even touch it. He can't understand what's going on. Men don't even know. They deem me as crazy and weird. But oh, how wonderful it is when I get out of that prayer time of intimacy with God, and there's been a connection that has never been seen or practiced on earth till Jesus gave the gift. It's an intimate language between me and the Lord. We get alone with God and we pray, and that level of intimacy comes. I hope and I pray to God that when you pray, a level of intimacy comes into your life. I pray that your heart fills with love for your Father. I pray that heart fills with joy, that you have an opportunity to speak to Him. This old song says, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer before thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to fall on your knees before God and have a language that you can communicate that cannot be understood by anybody on this earth, but God understands it. He understands it. I've heard preachers say, oh, God understands your tears. But even more than your tears, He understands the heart cry of that Holy Ghost-filled man or woman that begins to speak in tongues as they seek God for their time of need. At verse 2, it not only says that you speak unto God, but it also says that you don't no one understands Him. How am I talking a language if you could understand me? If every nation was represented here, no one can understand what I'm saying in the tongues. No one. I'm not speaking some Swahili or some language that you would find in the bush in Africa. I am not speaking. This is heavenly done. I can't even teach you how to do it. I can't jiggle your jaw, and I can't say repeat after me. I can't do any of those things. It's a heavenly gift from a heavenly Father to a holy person that's been consecrated unto God. It's beautiful that you can't understand me. It's beautiful. I'm not sad that you can't understand me, and you might label me a weirdo, but when I get alone with Him and the uplift that comes from that prayer time with God, oh, how great it is to experience. Verse 2, the end of verse 2 says that no man understands Him, howbeit in the Spirit He speaketh mysteries. What a powerful thought. That when you're speaking in tongues, mysteries in the heavens are being displayed. What a thought that on your knees before God, your mysteries are being uttered in heaven. What a beautiful thought that your words are being echoed in heaven, that your words are before the throne of God. If I can express anything to you about speaking in tongues, it's actually like being in His throne room. It's like being in the holies of holies with His full presence there and knowing that He's hearing and receiving you. I cannot express to you with words the beauty of uttering tongues and being alone with God in that prayer time where you know God is there and you're just weeping and crying and you're seeking His face, and all you can do is say, God, I'm so glad to be here with you. And you begin to speak in an unknown tongue that you don't even know what you're saying, but your spirit is just bubbling over because of what's going on. The Bible says that when that takes place in the heavens, your spirit is uttering mysteries. Mysteries are taking place. Your spirit is speaking. It's crying out before your Father. That's what the gift is all about. It's a communication between you and God. You don't understand it, but your spirit is uttering mysteries. If you look at verse number four says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. I don't know about you, but I've had moments of being down. I've had moments of heartache and hardship. I've had moments where I wanted to quit preaching. I've had moments where I wanted to quit coming to church because people were mean. I've had moments where I didn't feel like shouting. I've had moments where I didn't feel like jumping. I've had moments where I didn't want to pay my tithes. Are you out there? Are you sleeping on me? I know I ain't the only one like this. I've had these moments. I've had these moments in my prayer time. I came to God one time. I said, God, I quit. Quit. I'm done. It's over. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and dealt with my heart about saying those things. But I was at those moments. And in those moments, you want to know what I can do? I can pray in tongues. Because tongues edifies me. It don't edify you, because to you it's just a bunch of gibberish. It ain't coming from your spirit. It ain't coming from your soul. It ain't coming from your heart. It comes from my heart. It comes from my soul. And it comes from my spirit under the Father. And so I can pray in tongues. And I've had moments, church. Oh, man, I've had some real good moments. I wish I could snap frame them and actually put them up there. But they're beautiful moments. They're beautiful between me and the Father. And I know you've had some serious moments yourself. When you've been alone with God and you're ready to quit, you're ready to give up, you're ready to throw the towel in, but something came over you like it did me. Something began to bubble up on the inside. I remember praying one day, just struggling along. I've been beat up by so many people, by so many Christians, and I was praying, saying, God, do you hear me? God, are you there? And all of a sudden, the Spirit fell, and I began to speak in an unknown tongue, and I began to pray, and all of a sudden I was lifted up to the heavens. I wasn't feeling the same pain, the same regret, the same remorse, but my soul was lifted up. It edified me and lifted me up to God. It edifies them. It's like charging your spiritual battery. When you get wore out, get tired, battery needs a charge. Get alone in the prayer closet and let the Spirit speak. I said, let the Spirit speak. Let Him speak. Let Him speak through you. Let him just come through. You know, some people seem to think that when they get filled with the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost just takes over and then they don't ever have to ever do it again. Oh, no. You play a part in this. The Bible says, and they spake as the Spirit gave utterance. Underline those words, they spake, because they're the ones who had to let it go. They're the ones who had to say it out. They're the ones that had to release it. And then all of a sudden, as they release it, it's a floodgate, brother. It's a floodgate. It just opens up. It just opens up. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I didn't say very much. I think I said one syllable over and 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 over again. But now, boy, I tell you what, it's really advanced in my life. I'm telling you, there are times I do think I speak in another language. It's really strange what comes out this mouth in that prayer time, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful time alone with God in that prayer closet. I'm telling you, it's an intimate prayer life. If you don't spend intimate time with God, unlikely you'll ever experience it. Jude 1:20 says this, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do we build up ourselves on our most holy faith? We pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Holy Ghost. The gift of tongues isn't understood, but one thing you can't understand about the gift of tongues, it'll lift you up. I said it'll lift you up. You could come in here dry, dead, and broke down. The Holy Ghost has a way of lifting you up. Just speak in tongues. Just speak. Just speak in tongues. A lot of churches, a lot of Christians forfeit the beautiful, blessed peace they could have in just a simple 10-minute prayer time alone with God by simply letting the Holy Ghost speak through them. Sometimes it don't take an hour. It just takes a minute. Listen, I've had to go into my office and shut my door at my job and have a prayer time. I've had to go into the men's restroom and lock myself in a stall and have some time with God. And there's nothing wrong with that. And when I get alone, I get lifted up. I get lifted up to God. He edifies it. The Bible tells us in verse 4 that it edifies us. It's a personal edification. It lifts you up. Listen, you don't have to go to a counselor. Why don't you see Counselor Holy Ghost? Amen. He's got more credentials you could ever imagine. He's got more papers hanging on his wall of credentials that you could ever even fathom. He knows how to lift you up. And if you just simply go to him in prayer, you could be blessed by speaking in tongues in your own prayer time. The Bible says in verse 4, I'm sorry, go to verse 14. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I don't understand it. It's the spirit that prays. It's the spirit that prays. The tongues is coming out of you by yielding your mouth to speak it out. But it's the spirit that's praying. Some have said, I think I'm doing. No, you are doing it. You have to yield. Did you think that when I speak in tongues, I've been possessed somehow? No. The Holy Ghost isn't possessing me. He's flowing through me. Amen? He's flowing through me. He's blessing others as he flows through. He's bubbling up inside of me. And the Spirit speaks. The Bible teaches in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's a groaning from your heart, a groaning in your spirit that speaks out before God. It's a groaning deep inside of you. I cannot teach how this works. I can only tell you that you got to get it because it's the best thing you can ever have. I lack the eloquence to properly teach it, but I'm telling you that it's beautiful when you can fall on your knees before God and your spirit prays. When you don't even know what to pray. When you don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been on your knees and you just didn't have it? That's when it's time. Because you might be praying in the heavenlies for something you have no clue about. But God can hear it and understand it. Groaning from your own heart. Groaning from your own heart. Listen, this ain't my gospel. Am I preaching my own words? No, I'm pulling it right out of the book. Right here in the book. Amen? Your understanding is unfruitful, but the Spirit prays. It's the Spirit that leads you in that prayer time. The Spirit that guides you in that prayer time. Church, we need to be led by the Spirit when we pray. When we pray. And how are we led by the Spirit? The Holy Ghost has given us a gift. It's called speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Church, we need the gift of tongues. How much do we need it? We need it so bad that we need it right now for our communities, for our country, for our family and our friends. We need it. I wish everybody in America was tongue talkers. Be a lot different place. If everybody that went to church prayed in the Spirit. That's what speaking in tongues has been called by many of praying in the Holy Ghost, or they praying in the Spirit. It's alone with God where the Spirit speaks. It groans out. I don't know if you have ever, this when the groaning happens, it happens during intercession. I don't know if you've ever interceded for anybody, but it's a very powerful. You really can't intercede for someone with groaning unless you deeply love them. But I have family members that I deeply love, deeply care about, and so I have interceded for them. I have got on my face before God, and I didn't have words. All I had was groaning. All I had was groaning. And I groaned, and I groaned. I'm telling you, I did more in that groaning than I ever did in any of my speaking. And I groaned out before God. And I groaned, and my spirit began to speak as I'm groaning out before the Lord. I'm interceding in the heavenlies. My heart is fixed upon the individual. My love is fixed upon the individual. And my spirit begins to utter groanings from deep within inside of my soul. That is praying in the Spirit. Intercession doesn't stop, but it keeps pressing in and pressing in and pressing in. There are certain individuals in my family that I love so much that I intercede for them when I get on my knees, and it happens on a regular basis. It's not hard for me to touch that part of my heart and begin to grow because of the love, because of the love. I believe today that I am saved because my grandmother interceded for me. I believe my mother is saved today because my grandmother interceded for my family. I believe that there was a divine interruption in my home, in my personal home, because of intercessory prayer by my grandmother. I used to sit by her door at night and listen to her at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, groaning in the spirit, asking God to save her loved ones, save her children. I listened to her mention my name several times in that prayer closet. Weeping in the spirit before God as she's speaking in an unknown tongue. I'm just a kid sneaking by the door to hear grandma pray. But I'll never forget the power I felt come out of that room as grandma touched heaven and began to pray. There's nothing better than interceding by the spirit. It's the spirit that prays. Tongues edifies you. It lifts you up. You're speaking mysteries in the heavens. It's a heavenly language. But most importantly, it's a gift from your Father. That's the most important thing. Jesus said, wait. I've got something for you. You will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's a gift. It's a gift of power, a gift of anointing, a gift in your own prayer time. If you don't pray, you have no clue or understanding of what I'm talking about. No clue. But if you pray at all, during the week, your heart is engaged to what I'm telling you, because you've had those spiritual moments alone with God. Church, God has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's released it from heaven that you might be full and speak in tongues. There's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. There's something wrong with the person that don't want it. Something's wrong there. I'm clinging to the gift. I'm going to cling to the gift. I believe it was for that day, and I believe it's for today. I'm going to end with this. I want to end with this story. I was sitting down for dinner or lunch one day with a friend, and he said to me this. He said, Pastor Bruce, he said, I don't believe the Holy Ghost is for today. He said, I believe it was for that day because they needed a special anointing to get the church started. At that moment in time, I didn't know how to battle that or refute. I didn't have anything in my arsenal. You know, usually you have something in the arsenal, you pull it out and you shoot it. I didn't have nothing. I just listened to him. But I've got a rebuttal now. My rebuttal is this. What makes you think that we don't need him today like they needed him then? Amen. I don't know if you've driven down the streets in Las Vegas, but I can tell you the Holy Ghost is needed down there. I don't know if you've seen what's going on today online, but boy, the Holy Ghost is sure needed today. They didn't deal with the same billboards that you and I deal with driving down the roads. They don't deal with the same lust that you and I deal with like we deal with it today. It's an open thing. It's like an open cesspool here in America. We need the Holy Ghost more today. We need tongues more today in the church than ever before. The early church spoke in tongues. The church today that was birthed by them should speak in tongues. Amen. Should speak in tongues. If you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, seek that you may be filled.